Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Bob DeWay, your host for today, and I'm speaking with Eric Dalma, the pastor of Gospel of Grace Fellowship. And we're continuing to speak about this whole dominion mandate idea. Invading Babylon is the book that we're critiquing. It's a book by a number of people, including Lance Waldow, Bill Johnson, C. Peter Wagner, Patricia King, Che An, Alan Vincent, that's who's listed here. This is from a while back, but this is picking up steam. We're in election year, and yeah, we get the Seven Mountains. And if you're new to the series, the mountains are realms of society that Christians are supposed to invade and Christianize so that they're serving to build the kingdom here on the earth now.
Wow.
As they conceive of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Eric and I have been talking about that. And our view is that the church age goes from the day of Pentecost, and it has to do with preaching the gospel so the people are redeemed out of this pagan world system that is opposed to the things of God, and that we are preaching Christ, and that citizens of the kingdom are added one at a time through conversion.
Yeah.
And that Christ was ascended on high, who died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, appeared to many witnesses after his resurrection, ascended on high, where he sits at the right hand of God, the majesty on high, it says in Hebrews, and he'll return after this age in which we are preaching the gospel, and he is at work converting lost sinners and cleansing them by his blood. So this is a totally different view than building the kingdom while Christ isn't here.
Yes.
As far as kingdom on earth through the cultures of the world. So that's where we're disagreeing strongly, vehemently,
yes,
personally.
Yeah.
We believe these Kingdom Now teachers are deceived and have a very serious problem with what they're teaching, and they're going to have to either repent or answer to God why they taught what they did.
Amen. You know, Bob, as we were talking about things prior to this, we had mentioned the hope for Israel. And I've mentioned in the past that one of the problems that I see with amillennialism and postmillennialism is this distortion of Israel, that somehow the church is Israel. In amillennialism, they believe they are Israel. In postmillennialism, they're trying to create Israel. But what's interesting is what the Bible teaches is, in fact, that we're waiting for the restoration of Israel. And one of the challenges I would put forward to anyone who may be postmillennial or amillennial is the question, is it okay to have the same eschatology that Jesus' disciples had? Because in Acts 1:6, after they had been taught about the nature of the kingdom of God for 40 days from the resurrected Jesus Christ, they asked Jesus the question, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus never rebukes them. He doesn't correct them. He doesn't say, hey, where did you guys get that goofy idea that this kingdom is coming to Israel? But instead, he says, hey, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which are set in my Father's hand, but rather you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What Bob and I are saying is that this coming kingdom is actually going to be headquartered in Israel as Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign. In the meantime, the church is to be about building the citizenry of that kingdom by preaching the gospel and allowing the gospel and the Holy Spirit to do its work, so that by faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17, you'll have people that are added to this glorious coming kingdom. We are not those, however, as the postmillennials are claiming, who are going to politically take over the world. In fact, we see quite the opposite, that we're going to be those who are always under the foot of those who have power.
Well, we're hated because we're We believe the truth of the gospel and we're preaching Christ.
Yeah.
Christians also support the Jews in Israel, pray for their conversion, yes. But we pray for the peace of Jerusalem because that means the king, the prince of peace, will actually be back on the throne.
Amen. Amen.
And so we believe in a literal millennium. And we also take Romans 9, 10, 11 seriously.
Yes.
About God's promises to Israel. They're hated because God gave them promises.
Yeah.
And the gospel came to us through the Jewish Messiah. And the lineage of Messiah, going back to Abraham and going even before that, sort of the seed promise. But if you look at the lineage, there's always been attacks against anyone bearing the promises of God.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's what's going on. And to say that, well, we get the kingdom by cooperating with all the pagans in the world, and that's going to make the kingdom come, and we're going to do this mandate. We'll talk about that while we're still in this series. But
yeah.
By the way, there is no such mandate anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
It shocks me how little concern so many people who are pastors of huge churches, and part of big movements, they're concerned for the whole counsel of God and that the scripture is interpreted accurately is so
Yeah.
small and so lacking, it's utterly shameful.
Amen.
They don't
Amen.
care what God said, and I've run into that again and again and again, even
That's right.
in public debates.
Yeah. Amen.
I debated a guy who said, well, you have some great exegetical work there. He didn't even put up scriptures.
Right.
It was all philosophy.
Yes.
So we believe that the Bible is the very word of God and it's binding on us.
Amen.
We need to know
Yep.
what God said. Well, let's look at another thing. And I want to talk with Eric about Luke 19 this time.
Yes.
So we're responding to claims that are made in this book that we've been talking about. This one comes on page 33. It's made by Bill Johnson, this New Apostolic Reformation pastor in Redding, California. And he said this, quote, "The desire for heaven is right and healthy, but it must not replace our commission." Quote, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6:10, New American Standard Bible. He says, we are not commissioned to look into the clouds for his coming. See Acts 1:11. By the way, he takes out of context.
Yeah.
We are commissioned to occupy till he comes. Luke 19:13, KJV. Johnson says, occupy is a military term. But as a matter of fact, no, it's not.
No.
I looked it up, Bauer, Danker, Arndt, Gingrich, and it does mean do business or trade and so on. But there's so many claims there. Sometime we need to deal with the Lord's Prayer. I've done
Yeah.
that before here, and when Jessica and I were doing something that I think it had to do with Dutch Sheets when we had that long series.
That's
They
right. Yes.
totally missed the whole point of the Lord's Prayer. Obviously,
Absolutely.
they're clueless about it.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as heaven, is a prayer for the return of Christ. They think it's going to happen until then.
Amen. Amen. That's right. It's eschatological. Yes, it's
Yes,
going to
and
help.
Eric, you've been preaching through Matthew, and you cover
Yeah.
God.
Absolutely, yes. And it's funny because his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, that's what we see the great hope is that one day we will reign upon the earth. The question for the amillennialist and the postmillennialist is, do you really see that happening now in any way? I don't see it happening. And I don't see the swords beat into plowshares, the spears into pruning hooks, and the nations no longer learning war, as it says in Isaiah chapter 2. I don't see the promise in Zechariah 14, 16 through 17, where the nations are going to flow up to Jerusalem and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't see that happening. So obviously, the amillennialist is way off. The postmillennialist is claiming this is going to happen. What Bob and I are saying is, no, it's only going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. And this, Bob, I have to mention this term that they use, that they claim, this is Bill Johnson claiming that it's a military term, the pragmatuamai. It really is a hapax legomenon. It means it only occurs once in our entire New Testament.
Yep.
As you pointed out rightly in Luke 19, it means to do business and to do trade. And what's interesting is that's kind of what Bob and I are saying, is that this kind of codifies the distinction. Bill Johnson and the postmillennialists say we have to be militant and like an army and invade. Bob and I are saying is, no, we're to be about those who are about Christ's business, to preach the gospel and make converts. Those are completely two different visions for what the church is to be about. If you think you're an army now that has to invade and take over politically, you're going to send your church to do something far different than if your belief is that you are to occupy and to be about the Lord's business, preaching the gospel prior to him returning. Those are two different visions, aren't they?
Yes, and they misinterpret the parables as well. And frankly, this is back now. We're doing this, and there's these ads on TV for Hallow.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? It's sort of Roman Catholic thing.
Right.
All right. People don't know what Hallow means. And hallowed be thy name. What it says is, may your name be holy.
Yes.
And to pray for God's name to be displayed as holy in this world is, first of all, a prayer that we might be saved and be holy because we're saints. And it's prayer for his return as far as the bigger scheme of things.
Yeah.
People will not honor God's name as holy when they're serving Satan.
Yeah. Amen.
Honestly, this is based on a fully liberal, progressive, and a lot of these folks would be aghast to be called that because they're conservatives. But as a matter of fact, it's the same kind of liberalism I heard in a liberal church when I was a kid. Oh, the good Lord would never send anybody to hell. Everybody's good. Be nice people. And they didn't believe that God did miracles even in times of the Bible. So I would put them, that's unbiblical, but Bill Johnson claims they're going to do bigger and better miracles than Jesus did.
Right.
Whole different world, but they're jumping into that liberal camp and not even knowing it.
Great point.
That the holiness of God's name doesn't require the return of Christ.
Wow.
It's just us being nice people.
Yeah. Right. Great point, Bob. You know, it's funny, as you look out the window, just looking at general revelation, you have on one hand the Marxists who think they're going to bring about some glorious utopia. And then now you have the people that are supposedly on our side who are post-millennial, who claim the name of Christ. Well, they're going to create a utopian vision based on their false understanding. And so you have two competing people who are trying to create a utopia on earth without Christ.
And there's yet another one that's somewhat like the Marxist, and that's the emergent one I wrote a book about.
Exactly.
It's
that's
called
right.
Panentheism. It's based on Hegel's.
Yes.
Yes. So you have this progressively evolving heaven on earth because God is infused into the world, where where you have a blurred distinction between the creator and the creation. And so all this is going to work out. And it's very similar. Brian McLaren and company.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tony Campolo the other day. I don't know if he'd call himself emergent in his day, but then you have Doug Padgett, folks like that. I wrote about that.
Yes.
But the simple truth is right there in Scripture, and it isn't hard to read. We've got to do the Lord's Prayer one of these days on this.
Yes.
And when we get to it, but the Lord's Prayer isn't teaching cooperate with businesses and be nice and have some biblical ideas be part of the bigger culture out here, and that'll make God's name holy. It does not. Because there are groups that are doing good deeds that are anything but holy.
That's right.
There, it's just, it's really not true. There, to be holy, repent and believe the gospel, and then you'll be a saint.
Yeah, amen.
And when you pray for the Lord's Prayer, we're acknowledging the basic needs we have is of the provision he has for us, our daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and for the return of Christ. It's so simple. I went through it one time in one of these podcasts I was doing with Jessica a while back.
Yeah.
And so this is another chance for Johns to say, oh, looking into the clouds, escape us Christians. We can't deal with the reality here. We need Jesus to come rescue us. They mock us. They mock the idea of the rapture. One of the people associated with them recently claimed that the pre-tribulation rapture is in fact a doctrine of demons. Did you hear that one, Eric?
Yes, yeah, that's really bad.
So now we have the good Christians, the powerful kingdom Christians, the ones who make decrees into the heavenlies that God has to institute, they think, mocking us who admit we need Christ.
Right.
Well, us
Yeah.
poor, horrible people, we need Christ.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, it's atrocious. And you know, this term that we're going to be looking at here in Luke 19, to be about the Lord's business, there's a parallel term in Matthew 24 and also in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's called gregareo, and it means to be on the alert. And the reason I want to mention it is because Bill Johnson's doing a sleight of hand. What he's claiming is that we, as in the pre-trib rapture position, are training people to look into the sky. Well, we understand gregareo and this other term in Luke to mean that we're to be about the Lord's business. Gregareo, be on the alert until he comes. In fact, let me just cite right after Paul talks about the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us gregareo, be on the alert. Well, being on the alert means you're found in the faith, and the evidence of being found in the faith is obviously that you confess with your lips Christ is Lord, and you're also engaged in the deeds that he's called you to. But that centers on the gospel, the finished work of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and to proclaim him for the forgiveness of sins. It is not about trying to militarily take over various different locales and different institutions in the name of Christ. If that were the case, then you might say Constantine was maybe a born-again Christian. You know, I mean, if you're going to use the definition of a military takeover as Bill Johnson is.
Well, that's why they actually say in some of these writings that look what happened, Rome fell to Christ. So they take the establishment of the Roman Catholic Church, which over so many centuries, as Rome falling to Christ. Dear ones, Rome is not serving Christ. The Pope doesn't speak for God. Secular Rome doesn't speak for God. That whole massive system of religion based on decrees by creeds and councils beyond Scripture, after Scripture, some supposed bishops of Rome, it's a fiction.
Right.
It's a secular religion with Christian terminology in it. This Halo app is, why not tell people who Christ is so they know what they're doing?
Right.
Yeah, but it's sad. It's sad.
It
People
is.
say, well, you're anti-Catholic. I'm anti-Christians being abused by an abusive system and not told the word of God, not taught Christ in the gospel, not taught the essentials of the faith, but told, go do this, say this, go here, burn this incense, go to this cathedral, do all this stuff. And when you get done, you probably didn't do good enough. You got purgatory. Let's do that. Add all the saints and Mary, all this stuff. I'm against people who are showing up and hoping to hear from God, but being left high and dry because they won't even tell them the truth of how sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, which was shed once for all.
Amen.
And to
Amen.
take this stuff and say, well, we're going to cooperate with Rome and everybody else, and we're going to get the kingdom on earth, is an affront to the gospel itself. I
Well
don't think
said.
people realize how serious this is.
Yeah.
It sounds pious, but it's in fact pushing people away from the gospel.
Amen.
And to think that conversion is okay, but we can cooperate with the world, bring the kingdom, or we're not commissioned to look at the clouds for his coming. No, they're looking in the clouds because they saw him ascend.
Exactly. In the same
They
way
had
as
asked
coming.
about his coming. Now's the time to preach the gospel, but it doesn't mean he won't come.
Amen. Amen.
No.
That's right.
It doesn't say, well, actually, occupy till you come means military. We're going to take over the world, make them be Christian. Now, what
No.
is this about? Well, let's look at it. Occupy is a term, and Eric just mentioned it. It's a hot box. Of course, the most obscure verse is the one they hang their hat on, because then they can deceive people.
Yeah.
But we can see the context, and we can see other parables and see that do business or trade is a good translation. Now, the parable in Luke 19, 12 through 27, that the reference is not about changing the culture of the world. This is my statement. But being faithful to the master with whatever reward is awaiting at his return. Whatever he's given us, we use for him. Whatever reward he has is his business. We faithfully serve him with what he's given us, because we're his servants, doulos, slaves. And it's an analogy. We work in this world serving the Lord, however he deploys us on the scene of history, and he'll take care of rewarding his servants when he's physically returned to do so.
Yes.
And having brought judgment to his enemies. These
Amen.
parables aren't allegories. And that's an error that many people make, has been done in church history, but they're making a point. And Jesus is making a point. Faithfully serve, and we're doing it for the Lord, even though he's not physically looking over our shoulder while we're doing it.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. And Bob, it's so funny, is to refute his idea, Bill Johnson's idea, that this is somehow a military term. Right away in Luke 19:13, Jesus says, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business until I come back. The term mina was a Greek monetary unit. It was worth 100 denarii. So if Bill Johnson was right, then you'd expect him saying, well, he handed out 10 rifles, or, 10 swords, or 10 bows and arrows. But instead, he's using business, language. And so you and I are saying it's about the business world, about being about the Lord's business, which is, again, focused on the gospel, the proclamation of who Jesus is, what he's done, why we need him, how we receive him. And that's how the kingdom's going to be built.
Right. Using the gifts he's given us and not demanding some reward now versus those, and there's others as we go on in this parable, who won't even serve him.
Right.
So the Lord ascended into heaven. We're still here. We're here to serve the Lord. Okay? He's reigning now.
Amen.
At the right hand of God. So, and he is God, by the way, God the Son, creator of the universe. We believe
Yes.
in the Trinity. Do business until I come back. So this is an illustration. We're serving him with whatever he's given us until he returns.
Yeah.
And that looks like different things for different people, depending on their era of history they lived in, their calling, their gifting, and so on. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. So that happened when Jesus His own people didn't want him to reign over them.
Right.
And there are people living out their lives on this earth that don't want Christ reigning over them. And if you don't come into the kingdom in the sense of repenting and believing the gospel, as we've been saying, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, Acts 26, 18, that he's not reigning over you.
Yeah.
You can build this massive nonprofit and call it for the kingdom and do good things. But if you're not serving Christ according to the terms of the gospel, you're not even part of the kingdom.
Amen.
There are plenty of religious nonprofits. They're merely part of the world.
Yes.
Okay. So they said, we will not have him reign over us. Verse 15, but when he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money, he called to him so they might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your mine has made 10 minas more. Well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in very little. You'll be an authority over 10 cities. Again, it's a parable. It's an illustration, future reward and judgment. Verse 18, second one said, your mina made 5. So you'll be over 5 cities. I'm going quickly here. Another said, here's your mina. I kept it away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, reap what you did not sow. But he said to him, by your words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. You did not know I'm an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down, reaping what I did not sow. Why did you not put the money in the bank? Having come, I gained interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mine away from him, give him the one who has the 10. In other words, it's not trustworthy.
Wow.
Okay, so this is still a servant, but he's not really trustworthy. So what's he calling us to do? Military? No.
No.
To serve God with whatever he's given us.
Amen.
And whatever it is, it's his business. And whatever our gifts are, as born-again Christians, we love Christ, we serve one another. It's not our business to decide who's important. And it's not our job to decide who's doing the best job. It's our job to love Christ and serve. He'll take care of the reward when he comes.
Yeah.
Okay? And it isn't a socialist system. They said to him, well, he has 10 already. And here's what he said in verse 26. I tell you that everyone who has, more shall be given. From the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. But these enemies of mine, who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Everyone who is not serving Christ may yet repent if they do so before it's too late, before death or before the return of Christ, are not the people that we work with to establish the kingdom.
Wow,
that's what Bill Johnson is saying. You don't have to, conversion is nice, but it's not necessary for doing a seven mountain mandate.
Right.
We're going to help everything get better. We're going to get here and make it work. Well, so then if things get better when you're working with the unconverted to make the kingdom now without Christ, what do they think is going to happen at the return of Christ? So all these details that there's going to be reward for those who love Christ and serve him, punishment for those who lived without him. Does that just all go away if you get the kingdom now?
Wow. Yeah. Great point.
What are they talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really irrational, isn't it? It really
it's totally
is.
Irrational. And the Lord's Prayer doesn't support what they're saying. This parable doesn't support what they're saying. In fact, the thing that should be shocking, but it isn't because of the way things are. There are people who go to church, and I've heard from many readers and listeners who contacted us over the 30 years we've been doing critical issues commentary. They say you wouldn't believe how many churches just use whatever Bible verse suits their fancy and never, ever expect that anybody's going to try to correct misuse of scripture or ask questions. Well, Pastor, you said this. Does this Bible verse mean this? Here's these cross references. Here's the whole paragraph. Are you sure that's what that means? They take that and they become offended at anybody questioned.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my Bible verse. I get to use it any way I want. The author determines the meaning. The Holy Spirit-inspired author wrote the passage.
Amen.
So Eric and I are laying this out here to give you the tools to discern these things, because they're being misused by people with massive organizations, millions of dollars, tons of influence, fantastic music, and they're saying this is the way it is.
Right, right.
And so we're bringing up the scripture. Okay, which one did they use? Okay, let's see what it really says. It doesn't say what they say.
Exactly. That's right. And this is a gospel issue, what Bob and I are bringing up, because think about Jesus in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. He says there will be many on that last day who come to the Lord and say, hey, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? But he'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you.
Amen.
And the critical issue that we want to lay out for everyone is, it sounds really pious to say that we're going to somehow, as a church, militarily take over or militantly take over society and various institutions. But in reality, aren't we not going to be simply those who are doing this and that, yet Christ never knew us? And the idea is, if we really belong to Jesus Christ, if we're really about his gospel, then we're going to see the absolute need for individuals, not groups, not corporations or businesses or different political institutions, but for individuals to come to faith for the forgiveness of sins. That's what it looks like to be about the Lord's business. That's the Great Commission, as Bob laid out in his wonderful CIC article from Matthew chapter 28. The disciple is the one who is personally coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the work of the Spirit. It's not a corporate or institutionalized type of salvation.
Yeah, he's the one building on the rock. The one who hears these teachings of mine and does them can be likened to the one who built his house on the rock, and when wind and storm came, it did not blow down.
Yeah, amen.
That's in Matthew 7. And that's what a disciple looks like.
Yes.
And so we are out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. You can access this episode and many others, as well as over 100 articles, on their website, cicministry.org. While you're there, click on Contact and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. We want to encourage you to stand firm in one spirit, one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Bob DeWay.
And Eric Delma.
We'll see you next week.